Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for the leaders in the Church of Christ. I'm Andrew Cook. It's lovely to be together once more. Christian Basics, the series returns. Some years ago, there was the remarkable rescue of a sailor who was circumnavigating the world in his yacht. He was in the freezing waters of the Southern Ocean when a huge wave struck his boat and it was capsized. He was trapped inside in an air bubble. If he'd tried to escape, he'd have certainly died from hypothermia as the water temperature was so cold. In his boat was a piece of electronic equipment which sent out a signal, and this was picked up by a satellite. A rescue search was made, and after many days, his upturned vessel was spotted. The only way the sailor could know about the rescue was for divers to get into the icy waters themselves and swim to his boat and bring him to safety. The pictures were beamed around the world on television, and it was truly amazing to see the bravery of those men and the safe rescue of the sailor. I don't think those who saw it will ever forget it, and I'm sure the sailor would remember it for the rest of his life. Well, here on Serving Today, we're going to be thinking of a much more wonderful rescue of people who were in a much worse condition than the sailor I've just mentioned. I'm talking, of course, about God's great rescue plan that is found in the Bible. Christian believers often speak about their salvation because God has saved or rescued them. So we're going to begin looking at another of Christianity's basics, which is God's work in salvation. With the help of Dr. John Hall again, and when Derek French spoke with John for us, he asked him to summarise the Bible's teaching about this salvation and clarify for us exactly what salvation means.
Yeah, I'm really pleased to get onto this subject. Salvation is God's rescue plan for sinners. You know, we've seen so far that all of us are trapped by sin, that we're unwilling and unable to escape. Someone else must rescue us. We can't rescue ourselves. And the Bible's message is this, that God is able to rescue us. Indeed, the Bible's message is all summed up in three English words. God saves sinners. That's what the Bible's all about. God saving sinners. The subject that we're going to deal with today is all about God taking the initiative to save sinners. He did take the initiative. He sent the Lord Jesus. And God still takes the initiative. He calls men to Christ and gives them life. God did not just provide a way for sinners to be saved, but actually saves men and women.
Now, John, I've heard people describe God's part in the salvation of sinners as a bit like someone throwing a drowning man a life belt. But actually, from your summary of the Bible's teaching on God's work in salvation, it's in fact very much more wonderful than that, isn't it, than just throwing a life belt? As marvellous as that in itself would be, it's God himself doing it. Would you like to expand on that for us a bit?
Yes, Derek, it's much more marvellous than just throwing a life belt into the sea and saying, there you are, get on with it. Can you imagine that? You're in the sea drowning, and the life belt is thrown to you, but you're too weak to grasp it. You're unconscious in the water. The life belt is near you, touches perhaps your nose or hand, and mocks you because you're unable to grasp it. But that's not salvation. This is salvation. There you are, almost dead in the sea. And so at great cost to the rescuer, the lifeboat is launched. He comes to you. He lifts you into the boat. He revives you. He gives you life and takes you safely to the shore. Now, even that's an inadequate picture to show how God saves the sinner. You see, in fact, we're spiritually dead, not even any life in us at all. And God needs to do much more than just come to us and revive us. He must come to us and give us life too, so that we can respond to him. And the fantastic thing is this, that God does this for millions of sinners worldwide. God saves sinners. As Jonah writes in Jonah 2:9, salvation comes from the Lord. Derek, perhaps you could read a New Testament text now about how Paul describes salvation in 2 Timothy 1:8 and 9.
So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time.
Now notice what Paul says God has done, that he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Now why did he do it? Not because of anything. Notice that, not because of anything at all that we have done, but because of God's own purpose and grace. If we're Christians and we're saved, it's because God chose to do it and actually did it in a way which brought about our salvation, which brought God's love and God's grace to hell-deserving sinners.
So really, the Bible is teaching us more than the fact that God makes salvation possible, but that he actually saves.
That's right, Derek, and it's glorious. He chooses to save, he chooses whom he will save, and by his irresistible, powerful grace, he saves them. And this is a fantastic message. We cannot save ourselves, but God can and does save sinners.
John, a question that comes to mind at this point is, why does God save anyone at all? Because when we realise our complete sinfulness and rebellion against him, really, all we can expect from him is condemnation. But instead, he gives us his salvation. Why does God do that?
Well, let's establish, first of all, it isn't because we are lovable and therefore God loves us. God does it because he loves us freely and chooses to do so. But let's see in some way, first of all, of how unlovable we really are, and then we can see something of the greatness of the love of God. Now, the Bible tells us all about human sinfulness in Romans 3. And listener, if you've got a Bible, please turn to Romans 3, and we're going to look at some aspects of verses 10 to 25. But read that for yourself after the program. Now, I'm going to read and comment on a few of these verses. They're very precious to me in that it was these verses that showed me for the first time that I was lost and as a sinner, and as a result, God came to me and saved me as I heard about Christ. Well, I'll read them and comment on them. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Before God, no one on earth is perfect or good enough for God. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. It's not because men seek God that he saves them. No one does this of their own accord. In order to seek God, God must stir you up and give you a new heart so that you do seek him. Nor can it be because of good deeds or our good deed in choosing God. Because Paul goes on to write, there's no one who does good, not even one. No one does good in God's sight. And then he gives a vivid resume of what human society is like and has always been like. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. It isn't just politicians and lawyers that are like this, but ordinary people in every society are like that. If you've got a TV or you listen to the radio, just listen for an hour and you can see the poisonous nature of human beings' communications with each other, their lies, their cursing, their bitterness. Paul goes on in Romans, their feet are swift to shed blood, ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. Doesn't that sum up the whole of human history? Ruin and misery mark their ways. But sadly, listener, isn't that also true of your life? Why are human beings like this? Well, Paul writes in Romans 3, there is no fear of God before their eyes. He says the law that God gave brings a consciousness of sin, a falling short, a transgression of God's standards. And then he says all of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. So if God hadn't chosen to save us, then we wouldn't be saved. And God hasn't chosen to save us because he sees that the people he's chosen are good in some way, or have sought him or have feared him, because Paul says no one does that. And in this passage in Romans 3, he's just quoting from the Old Testament. No one seeks God, no one seeks salvation, unless God gives them the grace to seek him. So when you ask me, Derek, as why God saves because he loves sinners. And as we've looked at the picture of sin there in Romans 3, it's truly incredible that God could love us, isn't it? Would you love such people who constantly opposed you and did everything in their power to hurt you, as sinners do to God? But God does love. If you could read John 3:16 for us, Derek.
Yes, this is a lovely verse, isn't it?
It is indeed.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
See that? God loved the world he had made. And that love moved him to give, to send, to give his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to save sinners.
Yes, I think that passage, Romans 3, is really devastating. It shows us that we are unattractive, really, isn't it?
And, it does indeed.
And I think it's important also to see from John 3:16 that the death of Christ on the cross did not cause God to love sinners, but rather it was because he loved sinners first that he sent Christ to the cross, which is actually quite staggering, isn't it?
It is indeed. That God should love us in this wonderfully free and generous way is glorious. Remember that the love of God made him send. The love of God made him give his Son to the cross. The love of God makes him save sinners. And if you're a Christian, the love of God has made him save you.
God's love is marvellous. John, does the Bible answer our question, why does God save sinners, in any other way? You've emphasised quite rightly so God's love, but are there other things we need to be aware of?
Yes, because he is God and sovereign, he chose to. It was one of his desires and plans, and it says so in Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. For he chose us in him, that's in Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He chose his people in Christ before the world began. And thirdly, this loving choice brings praise and glory to God, because it says so in Ephesians 1 and verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Grace is glorious. Ponder that. I wonder if you've really seen that. And I wonder if your theology actually acknowledges the glory of God's grace.
It is indeed amazing that God doesn't treat us as we deserve. Instead, in his remarkable grace, he comes to us and rescues us, pardoning our every sin. Well, with that, we end this edition of Serving Today. This is Andrew Cook saying goodbye, and may the Lord keep you in his grace. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.